Blog Talk Radio.
It's showtime.
Greetings and welcome to Sight and Vision Disability Senior Talk Radio Show, a show about disability rights, disability services, and your disability dollar. Your voice and advocate, voice your concerns, voice your opinion, but please let your voice be heard. Our mission is to bring to you the people, the places, and the things that can change your life for the better, which is independently living in your neighborhood, in your community. Welcome to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. And our motto is increase your network, and you'll increase your net worth. And behind microphone number two is the hostess with the mostest, Miss Renee. Greetings again, my listening audience. This is Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. Again, I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. Although I've been blind for more than 55 years, when I was a mere lad of 13 years old, on 4th of July in 1964, a big firecracker, which we call a cherry bomb, in the DMV exploded and blinded me in both of my eyes. But in spite of that, every morning I rise, I feel blessed, highly favored, and I know God is good. So greetings to you today, Miss Renee, and how are you?
I am great, Reverend Ray. Now, do you know what's special about today? Today is October 15th.
There's a lot of special things. My boss' birthday is today for one thing, and that's
okay.
Something I need to remember. But, yes, what other special things are they that's on your radar, Ms. Renee?
Well, today is White Cane Safety Awareness Day. Did you know? I know you know that.
Yeah.
But what I want to ask you, do you know how it became a holiday?
Yes. I learned that from the Road Warrior several years ago. Even though my mind is, you know, somewhat going, every now and then he refreshes it once a year.
Okay, so how was it made a holiday?
A bunch of blind people got some white canes and start fighting and hitting people and stuff, and they say, you know what, we're going to have to legalize this. Is that what you're talking about, or no?
No, that must have been an alternative version. The answer I was looking for, presidential proclamation. Okay, let me try something easier for you, because obviously you have an enhanced version. Do you know what year it happened?
In the 60s, I think.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good, and we'll learn more when we talk to the to our guests. But something that I found interesting is that the purpose was to increase awareness of the white cane with red tips and the safety needs of people who use them. Now, I knew about the white canes, but I didn't know about the safety needs of people who use them, and I found that interesting.
That is interesting, and that's why we have to, you know, blind people have to do a lot of outreach in terms of, you know, networking, because a lot of people don't know that's what the white cane symbol is for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That's what the purpose of this show, to help people get that information. All right, Ms. Renee, so what is our lineup for today?
Well, of course, we always begin with the adventures of Mr. Ray and Ms. Raven, and then in the news, the good, the bad, and the ugly, news which affects the disability and senior communities. And as we sign off, you challenge us with your call to action. And today, on this 56th White Cane Safety Awareness Day, our guest is special. Mm-hmm. We call him the Road Warrior. Ron Brown is a blind certified mobility specialist. He cannot bestow superpowers on you, but he can teach you cane skills so you can travel confidently in any city.
And Ms. Renee, you know what? When you can get those kind of trained, those kind of traveling skills, because, you know, a lot of people think just because you, when you come blind, you like all of a sudden know how to read Braille. You all of a sudden know how to use a cane. And what kills me, they think you know how to play music, a guitar, sing, you know, something. I mean, they
something
just, I was at an event one time, someone's home, and a couple of people said, oh, you blind? I said, yeah. I say, hey, we got a guitar. Can you play? I said, no, I can't play. Oh, but I thought blind. No, every blind person, you know. So I don't know what they got because of Ray Charles, Stevie Wonder, what. Yeah. They just figured we all could play an instrument. But anyway, moving along, Ms. Renee, I was starting to show off, which I like to start it off with, the adventures of Reverend Ray and his German Shepherd, CNI dog at Dog of Wonder. Miss Raven, and she is my number 7 guide dog. Somebody asked me what happened to him. We'll get into that a whole different time. But anyway, she's my number 7 guide dog, and I don't have an adventure because of giving COVID. Reverend Ray got some underlying issues, which most black men do, you know, diabetes, high blood pressure, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so Reverend Ray is very cautious in not getting out among crowds right now. But I will give you a tip, though. So, you do definitely need to, as we go into the, you know, come out of the winter and all, a lot of people are not taking care of their guide dogs like they're supposed to, okay? And so one of the things you need to do, which Reverend Ray did not do for years, is get a wellness plan for your dog. It might cost in the red round $50, $60, $70 a month. But it is so convenient because in the plan, and they will keep you up to date, that the clinic or whoever you get it from, the provider, they will call you, let you know when your dog needs to come in, when it needs to get checked on, and then they'll provide those things. It's all built into the plan. And so Ms. Raven had her her annual checkup the other day, and knock on wood that everything all right. And I say knock on wood because, believe me, regardless of these dog skills and all, they are still a live thing, okay? So they get sick. They have, you know, all kind of issues like, unfortunately, human beings do. And so I don't take for granted that she is healthy. And so I'll give that to the wise. Please get your dog, your guide dog, that's very valuable. It's not like if your dog gets sick, you can just run out and, you know, and get another dog. Like if your car got broke or something, you can run to Hertz or whatever, budget to get another car. It don't work like that, especially these dogs. Time they go through the training, anywhere from $60,000 to $90,000 for these dogs. And we'll get into that about how that all come about. And matter of fact, the Road Warrior was one time invited him, another friend of his that was learning cane travel, up to CNI Guide Dog School, that at one time I was a national field rep for that school, and I'm going to touch on that with him, ask him his experience in that. But anyway, so that little information is brought to you by one of our major sponsors, the Big Bad Wolf, and that wolf is W-O-O-F, Wolf, Wolf. And so please go to badwolf.com. website, and you can order dog food or cat food, all them little journal things that run around in those little cages and don't really go anywhere. And Ms. Renee always tells me sometimes, I say, you want to go this place, that place? She say, no, I don't want to just go for no walk. I feel like a little journal. I feel I got to go someplace. I'm like a German Shepherd. I got to be in purpose when I move. So anyway, but they have top shelf pet food for your pets, and you can call them there at 202-747-3434. Let me give you that again, 202-747-3434. And the proprietor there is Miss Penny, and let her know that you heard about it on Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. So that is the Big Bad Wolf, and that wolf is W-O-O-F. So, Ms. Renee, back over to you to introduce our guest.
Okay. Well, we call him the Road Warrior. And on this 56th White Cane Safety Awareness Day, we invite Ron Brown, a certified mobility specialist, and he's going to talk to us about mobility in the time of COVID. Welcome, Ron.
Welcome.
Well, good afternoon, you guys. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great. And I'll see if I'm still feeling that way when we get off of here. And I have some business. But Rob, before we get into, because we do have a tape and of you on tell us about, you know, how you lost your sight, how you lucked up and married up with Gene.
Oh yeah.
And we know this month is Jean's birthday, so we appreciate her honoring us with her birthday, being with us. But real quick, Ron, I just mentioned that I was worked for CNI Guide Dog School for a little while, and I had the privilege and to invite you and another gentleman up. Tell me what your experience was, when you was at CNI for a couple of days, because they housed y'all for a couple of days there.
Well, Ray, I'm a dog lover and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So I went up there and we had a good time. I was totally impressed with that school. As a matter of fact, I was just telling someone just last night at a bowling league. We bowl on Thursday nights, and I was just telling somebody about CNI. They was talking about guide dog. I said, man, the best school that I've been to, and I've been to a couple of them now, not many, but a couple, is the CNI school in Morristown, New Jersey. I said, that campus is beautiful. And it's very, at that time, it was very pristine and nicely done and manicured. And when I just had a good time up there. I thoroughly enjoyed working with the dogs and everything. So it was excellent.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, that was good. Well, you did be proud because you didn't pick your nose. You didn't run around with no shoes off, and you know. You did be good. All right.
Yeah,
so, Ms. Renee, how you like to start with Mr. Road Warrior?
Well, let's start with the basics. Now, I know Indiana is home now, but has it always been your home?
Actually, no. I've moved around a few years since I've been here in Indiana. I've moved to Memphis, Tennessee when I originally, before I lost my sight, I'd take that. So I moved to Memphis and went to high school there for 1 year. Then I left there, came back to Indiana, lost my sight, Indiana, moved to Texas for a while. I lived in Austin, Texas, looking for work after I graduated from Ball State University. Left Texas, moved to D.C., out right outside of D.C., Greenbelt, Maryland. Stayed there for about a year. Yeah. Left there and then came back to Indiana. And now I reside here totally.
That's new information. But go ahead, Mr. Yeah. Now, I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
Well, you mentioned that you were losing your sight, and our show is for people who both have lost their sight and people who are new to vision loss. So you mentioned that you lost your sight. How did you lose your sight?
Yeah, I had came home from Tennessee, and I was just starting my senior year. Coming home from a basketball game, Miss Renee, and unfortunate for me, I got shot in the face and blinded. I went from 20/20 vision to no vision at all. And that's how I lost my sight. Yeah. And it was life-changing experience for me, I can tell you that. I knew nothing about blindness. I didn't know. The only thing I knew about blindness at that time was that there was a cartoon character on TV named Mr. Magoo, and he was a blind idiot. And I knew, blind people stood on a corner and sold pencils and begged for change. And I'm thinking, my life is over as I know it. So,
Wow. But you know, that's why this show is so important, because oftentimes people have had little or no experience in the blind community, and unfortunately, what is portrayed on TV is Mr. Magoo or nothing. You know, you don't have anything in between, anybody that is accomplished. Okay, and I know Rev wants to jump in here, but I want to ask you, what kept you motivated?
What kept me motivated was, unfortunate, I got shot and lost my sight. Fortunate for me, at that time, the president of the National Federation of the Blind, the immediate past president, was Dr. Mark Maurer, and he was at that time our state president. And I got introduced to him, and that was life-changing and motivation for me, because he taught me that at that time that it was respectable to be blind, and that life was not over, and that I could still live the life I want, and blindness did not have to define me.
Wow.
Okay, well, that we train our people. When you hear that music, that means we have to take a break, because Mr. Ray got to go in his pocket and pay some people, and Ms. Renee is one of them. Okay, so you listen to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and of course, not unfamiliar to us is our special guest, the Road Warrior, Mr. Ron Brown, and he will be back on the other side of the break to share some interesting things with us. Ms. Renee.
You are listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time, soon to be Eastern Standard Time. Back over to Reverend Ray and our guest, the Road Warrior.
Okay, and before we follow up on you using your site, Ron, and meeting Dr. Maurer and about the whole skill thing, I just want to say, I did not know you lived in Greenbelt. Do you know that's where we live now, in Greenbelt, Maryland?
Really? I did not know
that. Yeah, all the time we talk, we've been living here for 5-6 years now. We live in Greenbelt, Maryland. Yeah, I didn't realize that.
I can tell you the apartment complex I lived in, but it was not far from the University of Maryland.
Spring Hill Lake.
It probably was.
It was. That's where they all had all the black people. No, you lived in Spring Hill.
Oh, is that right?
That's where you lived. And I can tell you that now. Yeah. They were redlining people back there.
Well, I'll be,
because you wasn't far from the subway. You wasn't far from the subway station, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I learned how to use that, and I learned how to walk the streets of Maryland at that time.
And
through a friend of mine. Yeah, a friend of mine I was living with. He was a good friend from Gary, Indiana, where I'm originally from. He called me down and said, hey, maybe you can find a job here. Why don't you come down here for a year? So I did that. We shared an apartment down in Greenbelt, Maryland. Yes, sir.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Oh, lovely, lovely city. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, we just love it, love it, love it. Yeah, you know, we all involved in all so many civic things and stuff like that. Now, wait a minute. You mean you couldn't find a job in D.C. where all blind people is finding all kind of jobs in the government and all that? Or were you looking for something in particular, Ron?
Actually, I was looking for a job. I had interviewed at the Department of Agriculture, although I wasn't, you know, in that field. Right. I was just trying to find a job anywhere. And it was around the time in 1980, I believe, or 81, something like that, and I just could not. I graduated from Ball State in 79 and kept looking and looking. I sent out 100 resume and 100 rejection letters. You know how they go.
Right.
So,
Well, look, this is interesting. So you went back to Indiana, and you got involved with the vending program. So how come you didn't make that connection in D.C. or Maryland?
Because I came back to Indiana and actually got involved with the Trade Winds Rehabilitation Center, and I started teaching there.
Oh.
And
I was teaching
6 different courses for them in the workshop portion of the rehabilitation center. I was teaching like criticism coping, interpersonal relationships, those kind of skills that you need when you're looking for a job, interviewing, interviewee skills, and those kind of things. So that's what I was doing over there, and then I got introduced to the blind vending program after I got to working there.
Oh, okay. And what I wanted to segue back from Dr. Myra, and the thing is with that then is that when you realized you needed to get some blind skills, and where did you go to get the blind skills?
Yes, sir. I went to Elkhart Rehabilitation Center in Elkhart, Indiana, and I got cane travel lessons. I actually started learning Braille my senior year because they had a what's called a resource room here in one of the public high schools in Gary. And I went down there for, about a few hours a day. I learned touch typing down there. I learned Braille. And then I went to my regular classes and took regular government and econ and things like that because I was a senior. And so the superintendent of schools at that time said, well, if you can go to your regular classes and you can go to the resource room and learn all of these other skills, life skills for blindness training, then I'll let you graduate on time. And so I did that, and I graduated. And then after I graduated, then I went to the rehab center to finish my blindness skills training.
Wow. Okay, that's interesting.
I met Matt Maurer after I graduated from high school and went to Ball State University. He came down there, him and his wife, Patty, wanting to start a student division down there. And so myself and a guy, you guys know, Paul Howard, were going there. Some other blind students were going down there. And he came and wanted to start a student division down there. And he said, you guys want interested in being in a student program? And we was like, yeah, we, you know, he said, okay, here, we'll get a fundraiser together, sell this candy. Us college students that were blind, we took the candy and ate the candy. And so, you know, I told President Maurer that at that time, I said, you know, I've been paying that back ever since.
I've been
joined the organization and been in ever since. So it's been a 40-year love affair. Yeah.
That was some expensive candy.
You got to use it. Don't know it. Don't you know it?
I want to ask you a question. You're newly blind, been shot in the face. All of this stuff is coming at you at one time. You're in high school. You meet, and for people who don't know, Dr. Maurer is like meeting the creme de la creme. He's like the top of the in the blind community. Did you believe him when he told you that you can be and do anything you want to do and that blindness is just an inconvenience?
You know, and that's the message they were selling to Miss Renee. And I actually, when I thought about it, at first I was like, yeah, right. You know, all I knew about blindness was helplessness, hopelessness. But what I did know, what he got to me at, was when he said that you can still be respected and be blind. You can still work a different kind of job and be blind. We are in this organization that has a positive outlook on blindness. And then the other flip side of that was I was hearing, well, you don't want to join that radical organization because they think they can be independent and they don't need people and they don't this and they don't that. And I start thinking, well, that's the way I am, though. I want to be independent. I was independent when I was sighted. I was independent when I was,
radical.
You know, being from the civil rights movement and all that. Of course, I was like, they're not any different from how I am now, except that I used to see in the things that I could see. Now I can't anymore. So, you know, my personality was already formed. And that's what I truly learned, that blindness is not what defines you, because, you know, your upbringing, your raising, if you will, defines your personality. Blindness has nothing to do with your personality. If you are a butthole prior to losing your sight, nine times out of ten, you're going to be a butthole after losing your sight. Blindness has nothing to do with you being a butthole.
I'm so glad you shared that, because I always like to have the internal dialogue that people were having when they lost their sight. We have people who are older who have lost their sight later in life, and, you know, they, too, have the same model that there's nothing more that they can do. And so I love you taking on us on that journey of what the conversation you were having internally.
Yes.
With yourself. And we're getting close to the break, but I want to ask you a question. A lot of times we think of blind people as sort of being in a silo somewhere. You have a beautiful wife. When and how did you meet your wife, and did your blindness play a role in that at all?
Oh, my God. I guess I better tell this story real quick. Like, it played a major role in it. So here it goes. I'm teaching at the rehab center, and she comes in, and she had her little girl with her, about 4 years old. And I come up the steps, and her little girl looked up and said, "Mama, there goes Stevie Wonder!" And then she jumped off her lap and ran over to me.
Oh, ma!
She says, "Come back here, Latrice." And she said, "You're Stevie Wonder." And I said, "No, I wish I had his money, though, you know, like that." And he starts laughing. And so we meet. And then make a long story short, Gene was coming there to start teaching crafts. I was already teaching daily living skills at the rehab center. So anyway, and it's funny you guys didn't know this, but the O&M instructor at that time introduced me to Gene. And then so I asked her out. Okay, so when I asked her out, I really have to tell this story, because when I asked her out, you know, she said, "Yeah, you can come by," but I didn't, you know, really think much about it. And so I was single, so I got my brother to take me over there. His name was Moochie. His real name was Preston, but we called him Moochie. So I said, "Moochie, now, if we get over this girl's house and she don't look that hot, you say..."
Don't leave me, Moochie.
"It looks like it's about to rain out here, man. We better get out of here." And that's what I told him to say. I say, "But now, if she's fine, you say, 'Woo, it's a beautiful day out here today. Is the sun is shining bright today.'" I said, you got the plan? He says, "Yeah, I got it." So we get over there, right? Now, unbeknownst to me, I didn't know what she looked like. You know, so she stepped out the door, and my brother looked at her. And he just stood there. And then he says, "Ooh, the sun is shining bright today." And Gene says, "Yeah, it is a nice day." "No, I mean, it's really shining bright today." You know? And he's going on and on about this day and how beautiful it was and stuff. And I told her that story after about 6 years after
that's
we got married. She called me.
About 6 years.
Yeah, she called
that's
me a dog.
Cute.
But I told her, I say, "Well, we've been married 34 years, Miss Renee, and the sun's still shining bright today."
All right. That's what I'm talking about.
I love it. Okay. You know what? That is a great story. I think we're supposed to talk about business. But Reverend Ray, I'll let you take it from here, because I just want to marinate on that story. I love it.
That is. And Ron, now Gene is blind as well, and a lot of people, you know, say about two people being blind and special with men, black men. They just, you know, they such babies. They need somebody to nurture them and take care of them and pamper them. So a lot of blind men is not going to marry a blind woman. So how did you all negotiate your day-to-day life in terms of some things like reading the mail? I do some practical things like reading the mail, laundry, shopping, grocery. How did y'all negotiate those things?
one of the things that happened, Ray, is that Gene and I, we married. I have to go back to the minister that married us. He was a pastor of Gene's church at that time. He didn't want to marry us. He felt this. He said the same thing you just asked about. How are you going to negotiate life? You're both blind, you know. Told Gene, he looked at her and said, you need to marry somebody sighted, somebody that can take you to the grocery store, somebody that can cut our grass, and somebody that can do all of these things. Gene looked at him and said, you know what, Reverend, I've been there, done that, and don't want to do it again. And then she said, I'm not marrying him because he's blind. I'm marrying him because I'm in love with him. And then the other thing that was said was when the Reverend kept going on, I sit up in my chair and I told him, I said, you know what? I put my pants on the same way you do, one leg at a time. And you see this belly right here? I don't have any missed meal cramps from not eating because we're both blind. And he sat back in his chair and he said, I'm going to marry you guys.
Oh, boy,
that's a good place to stop right there. Oh, wow. You're listening to Sight and Vision Disability Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. And our special guest is the Rogue Warrior, Mr. Ron Brown from Indiana. And he's going to talk more about his experience as being a blind person, being married to a blind person, but living the life that he wants to live, the both of them together. So, Ms. Renee, over to you in our break.
We want to thank our sponsor, Big Bad Wolf, a Primo pet store located in Northwest Washington, D.C. They carry raw, organic, and premium foods. If your dog needs it, more than likely they have it. They have store-to-door deliveries in the DMV. So give them a call at 202-747-3434. You are listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Now back over to Reverend Radio Ray and in the news, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes, in the news, brought to you by Real-Time Pain Relief, the best smelling, most effective pain relief lotion in the world. You just rub it on, and the pain is gone. Sponsoring in the news, the good, the bad, the ugly, information that affects persons with disabilities and seniors. Well, the good thing about this month, and they did give us a whole month of 31 days because, you know, Reverend Ray, a little thing about February, that they give February to black people and they give us the shortest month, you know, 28 days. But when I used to always say that, I had a dear friend of mine, and I'm going to give him credit, Deacon Robinson from Fayetteville, North Carolina. He said, Reverend Ray, you know, we don't have a problem with having February with 28 days because we don't need as long to get things done. I say, all right. So anyway, so for the good, it is Disability Employment Awareness Month. And so there's a lot of events going on, and hopefully we raise the conscience of not only the public, but also the conscience of people with disabilities, as Brother Ron pointed out. That we can live the life that we want. It's just learning some skills, getting some tools and knowledge, and you're able to live the kind of life you want. So during this month, there's a lot of events to expo people with disabilities. So please, if you have an opportunity, you know, just go to some of those events, and you'll be surprised at the technology, some of the things that's out there for people with disabilities to aid them in living a so-called normal life. All righty. Now, the bad is this. Not only in the regular public community, but also in the disability community, there's folks out there that are taking things for this COVID that's not a sanction, like the different vaccine shots. okay, and it's, you know, it's some Trumpisms people out there that's even in the disability community. So people, please do not be taking these home remedies and this stuff you see on the internet and all this kind of stuff. Please, please do your research and take one of the three, you know, shots that has been vetted by the CDC and take those shots. I didn't heard a number and argue with a number of people with disability about, you know, they don't want to take the shot because, you know, like 2 grains of sand of a whole beach of people got sick or died or whatever, you know. But the thing is, as I tell them, it's better to get sick than to die. So you need to take, you need to, you know, check it out, research it for yourself. And I know known a number of people that was really avid people with disability about not taking a shot, but after they heard enough information, got information of their own, they did take the shot. And one, myself, that works for the county, I work in constituent services. I hear so many, you know, unfortunately, calls and stories of people that did not take the shot, wish they had taken it, got sick, died, left family, you know, was a breadwinner, and now the family don't have the kind of income, don't have a place to stay. People got sick. So this, you know, this is some serious stuff. And anything, something is named Delta. I mean, this was Delta Force, Delta this. I mean, those are bad people. So anything you hear something Delta, you know that's bad. Now, I don't know what they're going to be naming this next one coming up, but they do think we're going to have another offshoot of the virus. But anyway, please check with the people that know what they're doing. In the ugly, I'm only going to say this. Still more and more seniors being confined together is having problems with this COVID because if you're paying attention to the news, we have less people working. I don't know how many nurses then got out of this, you know, then stopped becoming nurses, just stopped being nurses. I mean, you know, the 18 months or 2 years, they just totally fagged out and all. And then anytime the nurse got to take care of somebody that's hard-headed when they come in, because they didn't take the COVID shot. I mean, that's like, wow, you know, that's a real, real depressed. And I heard a number of nurses say, you know, we there risking our lives, and here there's a shot out there to help you, and you all folks, knuckleheads, are not taking it. And as a brother Ron Brown say, you know, I guess a butthole is a butthole. I guess I don't know, you know, how you can, name it any other way. So please, people, please be mindful of that. And like I said, back to the seniors, that is a problem. We done had, again, like I said, I work for a councilman, and we done had a number of people call about seniors dying in the nursing homes and nobody coming to claim their bodies and stuff. You know, they just don't come. I mean, you know, so anyway, that's another whole story. But anyway, that is the good, the bad, and the ugly issues that affect people with disability and seniors. And again, it is brought to you by Real Time Pain Relief, the best smelling, most effective real time pain relief lotion in the world. You just rub it on, and the pain is gone. Miss Renee, back over to you, and formally reintroduce our special guest.
Well, he is a special guest. We call him the Road Warrior. And he's joining us on the 56th celebration of White Cane Safety Awareness Day. Ron Brown is a blind certified mobility specialist. He has his own business, Cane and Able Disability Services. And so, Ron, you know, so much is going on in cities right now. They're changing traffic patterns. They're doing all kinds of stuff. What is the new challenge for you as a mobility instructor?
That's an excellent question, Ms. Renee. One of the challenges that happened when COVID first hit was that people was afraid to get out and to mingle and to to do the daily activities that they did in their lives, and that was totally understandable. So the country was shut down, and most of us stayed indoors. As the COVID tended to lighten up and the vaccine came on the scene, a lot of people start going back out. I even started back to working one-on-one with seniors and young people and kids in school when school started back. But one of the things that we learned real quickly is that we had safety kits that we would come up with, and that in that safety kit was, one, an extra cane. Always have an extra cane. You never drive a car without a spare. And so two is hand sanitizer. So that when you're working, as I do, as a blind instructor, a lot of my techniques and training is hand over hand. So I'm touching the student a lot, touching their hands, seeing where their arc of their cane is, and touching their canes. And we have to wipe them down with a hand sanitizer. Of course, we have the extra mask and things of that nature. So we had to fill our backpacks with a little different items and stuff. And so that's what we did, and we got back out and started teaching. Now, I really have to put a plug in here because as I want to say something, as Mr. Ray was saying about the economy and about people doing strange things, one of the things that I think is a real plus for the disabled community, and this is just my own commentary, so it's not anything that has to do with the show, but my own commentary is this. This is a perfect opportunity now for disabled people, not only just seniors, but younger people to get out and get these jobs. These, for whatever reason, people don't want to go back to work. They don't want to they want to hold out for better jobs. The disabled community is an untapped resource. We need to get out here and get some of these jobs and prove our worth. That's what we need to do, and that's just my commentary.
I think that's a very timely commentary. Exactly. So you're now got a safety kit. You've got an extra cane, hand sanitizer, masks, things that normally you didn't carry before. What is going on in your city or other cities where you go to train people that is sort of new and is a new challenge for you?
The new challenges is in our city, especially here in Indianapolis, we got a new transportation center, and we've been putting in all of these new bus lines, and they call them, floating bus lines and floating transportations. And one of the things that is that these bus lines stop in the middle of the street, and they run from one end of the county to the other. And that a lot of times it's hard for blind people to figure out where these bus are because they're right in the middle of the street. But they also have kiosks that weren't accessible at first. And so we had to do a little advocacy work to make sure that those got made accessible to the blind because, you know, people can walk up to it. They can punch their card, get on the bus, and go. We didn't have an opportunity to do that because we wanted to be on the front end of these talks when they started putting these things out to make sure that they were accessible to the blind. We don't drive. We use public transportation. So wherever they put these things, we needed to know about them, and so we can train others to know about them. The other thing that's new and Indiana is leading the nation in these is roundabouts. The roundabouts Carmel, Indiana. Carmel, Indiana, I'll call them out, is the roundabout capital of the world. We have more roundabouts in Carmel, Indiana than anywhere in the country, I'm told. So pretty much all the streets are a roundabout. And what a roundabout is that you go into this circle of traffic and you can come out through the left side up through the right, different direction. It goes all different directions, north, south, east, and west. The challenge to that is if a person that's walking that, he has to know when it's safe for him to go. So we teach in orientation and mobility is that you walk with the parallel traffic. if the perpendicular traffic is moving, that's the traffic that's moving across your body, and you don't want to walk with that, and you walk with the parallel traffic that's going the way you're going. The problem with that is in a roundabout is that the parallel traffic can be going, and then all of a sudden the perpendicular traffic can be going, and you have to figure out, and it's not an easy feat, but you have to figure out which traffic is best for you to cross with. And most of the times now they're putting accessible pedestrian talking, you know, lights and stuff there that help you navigate that kind of traffic. You can walk now. It'll say it out loud, and so you have to try to get across. And then they have timers on them that you have 10 seconds to cross this street and all of that kind of stuff. So they're putting stuff out like that that does help. The problem lies is sometimes in inclement weather, rain or so, it throws the sound of traffic off. And so you have to really be on your P's and Q's. What I tell my students is safety first. If you don't feel like that you're ready to cross, don't cross. Even though it's maybe your turn to cross, you have to make sure that you know when it's safe to cross. And then sometimes if you start going across and then the actuated light, which is the talking or the birds or the chirping or whatever, those things sometimes get distorted through inclement weather, and they sound like they're coming from way across the distance when they may be straight in front of you. And so you have to learn to navigate by going back to the basics and cross with the traffic, using traffic as your guide and not these actuated intersection these intersection with the actuated signals.
Well, you know, I hear what you're saying, and you know, oftentimes we think, oh, this is for the blind community, but for seniors, I've seen too many times seniors not able to get across in the short amount of time that's given. I don't know who they put out there as the model, but
exactly.
It benefits broader than the blind community. It is also for the senior community. It is for somebody who has a physical disability. It is for a mother with a stroller. I saw an unfortunate incident not long ago where a mother with a stroller had gotten past, but the driver didn't see the kid on the bike behind her in the walk, and unfortunately the child was hit. So these are not just specifically for the blind community. It's for a number of communities. So my question is, should other people of the community, seniors, blind people, persons with disabilities, be at the planning table when city planners come up with these ideas?
I think that would be a wonderful idea. In an ideal world, that should happen, because we use the we use transportation patterns more so than they think, and we are out in community, and we are working, and we are engaging in society as everybody else is. And one of the key things is everybody's into health now, and they're putting more bike paths here in our state. Mm. And one of the things that's happened, you get across the street and you get into the bike lane. Well, if the guy on the bike, they don't see you, and, you know, blind people have gotten their canes broken in the spokes of the wheels of the bike. Blind people got hit by the bicycle. They're trying to get out of the traffic, but then they run into the bike lane really, really fast to get across, and then the person on the bike hits them. So it's been a challenge. You have to, you know, what we say is that the world doesn't necessarily adapt to us. We have to adapt to it. And so we your environment may change, but your basic cane techniques should never change. And so you need to be aware and get across that street. We are also finding out that the more the quieter the cars are, the more detrimental they are to blind people. We've had people been hit coming across garages and driveways, cars backing out, and you not hear it backing out towards you, and then you get clipped with it. But by the same token, guys on skateboards do the same thing. They're going across a sidewalk and then go across the driveway. They got their headphones on. They don't hear the car or whatever and don't see it or looking at their phones, and bam, there you go. You know, so awareness is the key. You have to be aware when you're navigating. It doesn't matter whether you're sighted or blind. You just have to be aware.
Wow. Ron, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this, because I know I know a number of our listeners probably like, well, wait a minute, what do they mean he's blind and he's teaching cane travel? So, Ron, tell us about how that philosophy came about, and even today, when somebody think about having a cane traveler and you're introduced or that you want to teach these people cane traveling and you blind, what type of looks that you're getting? Because I know it's not a sunshine look. No, it's not a good day sunshine. So what kind of responses even to the day that you're getting?
Yeah, not all the time. But you know what, Ray, I've learned too, is that when I'm going and I'm introduced to another blind person, they really don't have a problem with it, because one of the things that they say is, well, when they say, you don't understand what I'm going through and you don't understand how difficult this is, I do. I live it every day. And so they can't use that excuse on me, but the general public now may say, oh, my God, I just saw a blind man teaching another blind man how to get around. That it pops in their head saying the blind, they all fall in the hole. My pat answer to that is I've been teaching 21 years and haven't lost a student yet. So, but the bottom line is, back in late 1990s, we started a program down at Louisiana Tech University, and we started to training blind people to get master's degrees in education psychology with a national certification in orientation mobility. And what we learned back then is that blind been teaching the blind for many years. We called it paired walking, and we just never got paid for it. So we've been teaching each other our tricks, how we did it and how we get around, and then we started to getting some validation through the degree, but then we started putting it into actual practice. And so what we learned, and these are blind techniques, is that structured discovery learning is how we teach. And that is made up of like four different components: experiential, getting out there doing it; problem solving, figuring out, you know, if you're in the street or if you're not in the street and how you can figure that out; use of non-visual cues like the sun, the wind, all of those, using those non-visual cues to help you navigate; and then role modeling. If I can do it, you can do it. So that enables me to teach anywhere in the world, Renee and Ray. That enables me to teach anywhere in the country, because, again, your environment may change, but your cane technique should never change. What I do in Indiana, I do in D.C. or New York or anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. And Ronnie, let me ask you this. In terms of just how things are, is there more? Okay, because when people first lost their – okay, because at one time it was war veterans that got hurt in the war that was blind, and, you know, and then they tore them cane traveling off. And now we're not having wars. But, I mean, you know, that to that extent, World War II, World War and all that, where blind people was becoming blind. But there are so many now health issues that causing people to become blind. So, and this is what I'm asking. Now, with war heroes, we know those people was in pretty good shape, you know, because they were soldiers and stuff. So they could walk and they could do all this stuff. But now with the people becoming blind now because of health, have you seen a difference in terms of the type of people that's being blind, that, you know, their health aspect of it and learning cane travel? I mean, is there now a more of a difference in terms of how you approach that particular person?
I think over the years, the population has changed, Ray, and the types of blind people that I work with have changed over the years. You're right. When the guys came back from the wars, they were fit and they were this, but they also lost other limbs other than blindness. And so we had to learn to compensate for that. So, for example, I may teach a person with a cane, a regular mobility cane, to navigate, but I also may teach him to walk with this walker and use the cane. I may teach them, if they're in a wheelchair, to use the wheelchair and their cane. And so part of their body space is the wheelchair. So that means I have to get a longer cane to cover their body space, and I'm including the wheelchair because they swipe with the cane, they roll with the chair. They swipe with the cane, they roll with that kind of travel. If they're using if they have neuropathy really bad in their feet and things of that nature because of diabetes, and or they may have a heart condition, and they may cannot work as long as a young person could. And so we modify the time that we work with them. When I'm working with seniors, sometimes people believe that seniors don't want to just go too far or whatever. I teach from a program where it's your program, so you learn as much as you want to learn. That means I may not teach you to run up and down 2 or 3 miles, but you may want to go to the corner drugstore. You may want to just walk to your mailbox. You may want to learn to get around your own home. So programs are different.
Okay, so that's the music. So, wow. So, with time for our last break, this is Titan Vision Disability Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. Our special guest is the Road Warrior from Indiana and mobility teacher. And we're going to be back on the other side to with our last segment and go over some other little things. I think we're going to ask also Ms. Renee about the National Federation of the Blind, because obviously it made Ron a new man and a new person. So how that now has changed in terms of the direction, because I know there's a fairly new president in Mark Riccobono. So the philosophy has sort of changed from Mr. Tim Brooks, Dr. Jernigan, and Dr. Maurer. So I'd like to go into that a little bit. So over to you, Ms. Renee.
Well, Reverend Ray, we had a technical difficulty, so this is our final break. So if you want to get in and ask a question about the NFC, technology, you love it or you hate it. When it works, you love it. So why don't you
Okay, I'm going to go over, but real quick. But let me ask Ron. Ron, real quick, just tell me in terms of the environment now, isn't it a little different from Dr. Tim Brooks, Dr. Jernigan, and Dr. Maurer?
Yes. Our, our initiatives change as we change presidents a lot. The initiatives of the National Federation of the Blind, the foundation stays the same, that it is respectable to be blind, but instead of saying that, we say that blindness is just a characteristic of ourselves, that you can live the life you want. Blindness should not be the barrier that holds you back. So our philosophy and our foundation has changed. I mean, it stays the same, but the initiatives have changed, such as accessibility, those kiosks I was talking about. We want to make sure that those things are accessible, voting rights. We want to make sure that blind people participate in the voting process and that those voting machines are accessible to us. Our new president, and he's not so new anymore, but President Riccobono has put forth an aggressive agenda to make sure that accessibility is the key in all things related to blindness. And the other thing I wanted to say real quick is that White Cane Safety Day, Ray, started when you lost your vision in 1964.
Oh, wow. That was a nice.
Yeah.
Okay. And this was all about White Safety Cane Day, and we didn't even get to it. So we're going to have to do a part two somewhere along the line. So Ron, thanks again. Thanks again for coming back. And what day is Gene's birthday?
Gene's birthday was October the 7th. Happy birthday.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Well, this is for Gene as we close out. Alexa, play Happy Birthday. Oh, Brian, happy birthday, Gene. All right, Mr. Renee. So, all right, so our time is up. I thank you for your time. Until the next time, this is Reverend Ray, and I like to say, I might not have sight, but I can have vision, vision, vision. God bless and be blessed.
Thanks,
you
guys.
Thank you. You have been listening to Sight and Vision, Disability, and Senior Talk Radio. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Have an idea for a show? Contact us in all the usual ways. Email us at snvradioshow@gmail.com. That's SNV, the letters, radioshow@gmail.com. Or call us at 301-377-6468. Want to listen to a past show? Type in the address bar, disability1radio.com. That's disability, the number one, radio.com. The address bar, the one up in the left-hand corner. We thank you for joining us today. We thank the Road Warrior. We thank our host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. And we'll see you next Friday at the same time, 3 o'clock p.m. right here. Don't be late.